listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
After a traumatic event, a disruption in the relationship, I often hear two things from each person in the relationship. One is, how can I get back my spouse and win back the trust? That's for the person who maybe disrupted the protection of the relationship, the boundaries of the relationship. Somewhere in there is this meaning that my spouse doesn't trust me. Now, on the other side of that spousal, that couple, is a spouse saying, how will I ever trust this person again? Or what do I need to do to trust this person again? What this raises is the central fact that trust is at the heart of relationships. If there's not trust in the relationship, it's going to naturally fall apart. There is a place where it has to be the glue, the foundation point. Trust is really about thinking that the other person will do what they say they'll do, which includes following the vows that might have been made years and years before. Remember those marital vows? They seem to last a lifetime for some people and not so long for others, but we all made those vows at the beginning of a relationship. And so trust is based on believing that the spouse is going to do what they say they will do, including the wedding vows. And also, there's another layer to the trust, which is that the other person has your best interest. The spouse has your best interest at heart. That includes the relationship's best interest. Remember, it's not just about it's not about the two people involved in the relationship, but the relationship itself. It's as if that's a third entity. In fact, it's what I call being a we. And so have your spouse's best interest at heart and the relationship's best interest at heart? Sometimes there are some competing places there where you have to decide how you move forward. And I always say that the best move is with the best interest of the relationship. That adds a third question, not what's good for me, what's good for you, but what's good for the relationship. And so trust is about assuming that the other person has the best interest of the spouse and the relationship. That really, in some ways, your spouse and you have each other's back, both in public and in private. I know some couples who really do have each other's back in private, but in public, they might be a little harsh with each other. And other people who act in public as if they have each other's back, but in private, other things are going on. For me, trust includes both of these elements. It's both a belief that the other person is going to say what they say, that is going to do what they say they're going to do, what they promise to do, and that they have the best interest of the other person and this relationship at heart. That's what creates the bond, the place where both people can depend on each other. So there are two parts to this equation, the person trusting and the person being trusted. And that's where we end up with problems. Sometimes the problem is with the person who's being trusted, that they may be acting outside of that place of trust. Sometimes it's for the person who's trusting that they're not able to get to that place for another reason. When I was in college, I remember it was time for me to continue some other outside areas from my major. And one of the areas that was impacting me was politics. And what I mean by that is I needed to take a class in political science in order to fulfill that. That particular semester, as I looked forward to the other semesters, I knew I didn't have many options. In fact, there was only one class I could take, and this class was on the nuclear war, potential of nuclear war. So it was about the nuclear crisis of our day. Don't remember the exact title of it anymore, but I do remember it was not an uplifting class. It was a Tuesday, Thursday class. I was there for an hour and a half. I even remember that the place we met in was this dark place, and everybody else were poli-sci majors. I was the sociology major, and I was thinking about it in terms of relationships because that's what we sociology kind of minded people do. There we were talking about the Cold War. So that tells you a little bit about the time frame. It was during the Cold War, and that was the time when we all had this kind of belief that at some point we couldn't trust the other country, particularly in this case the Soviet Union at that point, to not launch a nuclear war. And so as we studied this class, I remember there was this one concept that stood out to me. It's called the MAD policy. Interesting acronym, MAD, MAD. And the reason it was called the MAD policy is because it stood for Mutually Assured Destruction. Mutually Assured Destruction. What this really meant was that we didn't trust the Soviet Union to not send bombs our way, nor did they trust us to. And so we had created enough weapons on each side that we assured each other that if you launch, I launch. And so that's what kept war at bay. It wasn't a deep sense of trust that I trust you as an ally, I trust you as a friend, that we have each other's best interest at heart. And by the way, I do believe that a simple best interest for any government is to not destroy the planet. Instead, we had to aim our nuclear weapons at each other and say, I'll detect you, you'll detect me, and we'll blow each other apart. This mutually assured destruction was basically the idea, we will obliterate you if you obliterate us, so let's not. This is an entire lack of trust. There is no trust involved in a mutually assured destruction. And by the way, I've seen some couples that seem to have that mutually assured destruction. If you tell my secrets, I'll tell your secrets and we'll both go down in flames. If you take my money, I'll take your money and we'll both go down in flames. That's not about trust. It's the lack of trust, and it's restrictive on building a relationship. If both people are pointing a weapon at each other, including countries, there is not a way of building a trust across that because it's based on threat. Trust is the basis for an enduring, loving, supportive relationship, and that's what we're trying to talk about, is the difference between this mutually assured destruction or misuse of trust and trust itself in a relationship. I see trust as a gift, and I've had many people say, I don't agree with you on that, so if you don't agree with me on that, that's fine. Just hear me out on why I think trust is a gift. I believe that trust is a gift, and it's a gift that is to be treasured by the person who is trusted. It's not about the person who's trusting. It's the person who carries that gift around with them, the trusted person. Are they going to treat that gift nicely or not? Think about people you know in the gift-giving season. You know, if it's the holidays and maybe at some point somebody slipped up and they re-gifted you a gift you gave them and you felt betrayed and you felt like maybe your gift didn't mean anything to the other person. Well, the same's kind of true with trust. Both people have to treat it like a gift, and both people have to treasure that gift in order for it to work. You can't earn back trust. It's not possible to earn it back because it has to be at some point granted. You can be trustworthy, and we're going to talk about how we get to that place in a minute, but you can't ever earn back trust. You can break trust. What usually happens in a relationship is that two people, as they come together and as their relationship deepens and strengthens, they naturally trust each other more and more. Now, sometimes we have a hard time trusting because of childhood issues. Some of us grew up in untrustworthy homes with untrustworthy parents or caregivers. A lot of times there is addiction in families or abuse in families or boundaries that are crossed in families that leave people with difficulties trusting, which points to the fact that it's still a gift because at some point, somebody who is in that situation can still say, you know what, I'm going to break the pattern that I've been in and I'm going to find a way of trusting again. So trust is a gift. Trust is a gift that we can decide how we're going to give it and how we're going to take it back once we recognize that trust really is that gift. Which is why I say, if you do something that breaks the trust, you can't earn back trust. You can do all the kind of things you need to do. And I've talked about that in other podcasts, and I'm even talking about it in an upcoming book about affairs on how to get back to that place of being trustworthy. But the spouse still has to step up and say, okay, I'll trust you. I'll take that next step. I will trust you. Which means, and when we're talking about how you break this law, we're really talking about how you break the law on either side of the equation. So let's talk about that. Remember, this is the immutable law of marriage, that trust is a gift. Because some people say, hey, what, you've got to trust me. Why don't you trust me? And the other person may have good reasons to not trust. And there are other times when they don't have good reasons and they still choose not to trust. Sometimes that's more tied into problems that were in the past, either in the past in the relationship or past in family growing up. But there is a reason usually why there is no trust there when maybe there ought to be, and why it's sometimes so hard to restore trust once it's been broken. So how do we break this immutable law? Well, first of all, we might fail to treasure and protect the trust. We might fail to notice that we've been given something that's almost priceless, that's so valuable because it's the cement of a relationship. If I don't trust that other person, how are we going to move forward in the relationship? If I don't trust my spouse, how am I going to allow things to move forward? There has to be a foundation of trust, and yet many people fail to treasure that. And more than that, if you don't treasure it, if you don't keep that as something incredibly valuable, you're probably not going to protect it. And so you do things that put that trust at risk. You might not follow through on doing things, and you might take actions that violate the trust for that person. So the first way we break that law, we fail to treat it as a gift. We fail to treat it as an important, valuable gift, a treasure, and we fail to protect it. The second way we break this law is that we make trust too cheaply. We give it back too soon. The first one is more about the person who has been given trust. The second one is about the person giving trust. In fact, the next two are about the person giving trust. Some people are just ready to trust at the drop of a hat, and you'll notice that they get burned and burned and burned and burned, and they continue to trust and trust and trust and trust. Now, I'm not talking now about how they approach all of life, but how they approach the marital relationship. My father is an incredibly trusting person. He always thinks the best of people, and sometimes he gets on the losing end of those things because people aren't always trustworthy. My mother is very similar in that. They both have a positive outlook on other people, and sometimes that comes back to burn them. But together, as a couple, they both treasure the trust so much that it's outside of the realm of what might happen to it. They both treasure it and protect it. But some people in a marriage make trust too cheaply. A spouse violates the boundaries of the relationship and they say, oh, that's okay, we'll just keep going. And a spouse might do something else in the relationship and they say, oh, that's okay, we'll just keep going, I'll trust you again. They continue to put themselves at risk and the relationship at risk because they cheat. They make it too cheap. They make the gift almost worthless. They're willing to give it away at the drop of a hat. If somebody says, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again, they automatically believe it. So how we break the law number two, we make that trust gift way too cheap. But related to that, on the opposite end, number three, we can make that trust gift way too costly. Maybe a spouse makes a mistake, and maybe it's not even that big of a mistake, but to the spouse, it's a huge mistake that can never be recovered. Sometimes I'll have people come to my office and they'll tell me that they just can't trust their spouse. And they'll say, you know, I've been burned once too many times. And then when we get down to how they got burned, it was something so slight that for me, as the outside observer, it didn't need the kind of reaction it got. Now, that's not to say it wasn't an issue in the relationship, but in terms of what else I've seen in life, it didn't deserve the reaction it got. And in those points, I know that they've made their trust too valuable. They're not willing to give it because they put too high a risk on it. And that's usually about fear. Both are really about fear. When we make it too cheap, we're afraid we're going to lose the other person. When we make it too costly, we're afraid the other person's going to hurt us. And so we have to find that middle ground. When we make it too costly, the person can never get back in. And here's what happens when you can never win back somebody's trust. You give up. If you're a person who finds it very hard to trust again, eventually the other person will wear down and give up and not even try to be trustworthy again. Now, that doesn't excuse their behavior as much as to explain the behavior that sometimes happens. Sometimes when we make it too costly, it backfires. Many times we see this in parenting relationships. A child does something wrong and a parent will not let it go. And the parent keeps checking up and digging deeper and deeper and grabbing harder and harder and trying to control more and more. And eventually that child gives up on the parent relationship. and they get away from that. They get away from the control. All of us have the place where we have to decide, am I making my gift of trust too cheap or too costly? So how do you get back into abeyance of this law? Remember, the law is trust is a gift. So the first thing is clear boundaries. Now, I'm going to talk about this in a future podcast about boundaries, but boundaries are basically ways you protect the relationship. They're things that you both decide are not good for the relationship's safety. It doesn't mean that one of you has a propensity for cheating as much as why put the relationship at risk. You may decide that neither one of you can communicate with an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend without the other person knowing about it and maybe even seeing the message. You may decide that neither one of you should have dinner in a dark setting with someone of the opposite sex or same sex, if that's your orientation, without somebody else being there to moderate it, just because it might move the trust away and it might create other issues down the road. So having clear boundaries and stated clear boundaries between a couple is one way of protecting the trust. The second one is just to decide you're going to treasure trust, to protect it, being trustworthy. We all have some say-so in how we're going to do that. All we have in the end is our trust. Think about that. At some point, you know, I've often heard it said, all you have in the end is your reputation. But in today's world, somebody can trash your reputation for no good reason. In the end, what you have with your spouse is the trust that you, no matter what else is going on, if you can trust each other and rely on that and live within the commitment, you make it through the tough places. So treasure the trust as the person who's been given that trust. Now, what happens if the trust has been hurt? Well, that leads us to the next three. Number three, to trust, look for evidence of change. In other words, if you're looking at your spouse and going, where has anything really changed? You want to see some places of change in order for there to be a building block of trust. Trust is not on-off. It's not binary. You trust me or you don't trust me. It can be strengthened and weakened. And so when somebody has broken your trust, in order to trust, look for evidence, not just words, not just statements, not just clues here and there, but evidence for true change, that the other person has changed the behavior in order to be trustworthy. Which brings us to number four, commit to forgiving. Now, I'm also going to talk about this in a future podcast during the Immutable Law series, but see this as kind of part of the process. I think in a marriage, there is what I refer to as everyday forgiveness. That when we live in such close proximity with somebody, we're going to bump into them and we're going to hurt feelings. And so at points, you have to say, you know what, I'm just going to let those things go. When my feelings have been hurt by my spouse, I'm going to assume the better of them on these day-to-day moments, that maybe they were at a bad place or maybe they were exhausted from work. And so if it's that everyday forgiveness where it's a crossword said or maybe a sarcastic word said, to let that go, or maybe something small was left undone and you let that go and you don't allow that to pile up. But forgiveness we're talking about here is for the bigger things. And part of what is wrong with our idea of forgiveness is we've twisted it into some other ideas. Like, people always say, should I forgive my spouse? And my response is always, absolutely, you should forgive them, because forgiving somebody is not about reuniting with them. It's not about reconnecting with them. It's about letting it go for yourself. So commit to forgiving so you're not constantly carrying it around. If you ever had somebody where maybe you did something that ruptured the trust years ago, and suddenly you thought everything was okay, and they bring it back out again to replay that tape. Forgiveness hasn't really happened at that point because they're still dragging it back out. Two distinctions, though. Forgiving is not the same as forgetting. I know many people get caught up in that forgive and forget. I don't believe in the forget, but you can remember it differently. You can understand the other person differently. And you can decide after forgiving whether you're willing to reconnect or not. Separate those two pieces out. In fact, separate those three pieces out. There is the forgiving process, which may or may not include reconnecting with somebody and doesn't have to include forgetting the event, but it may mean that you re-understand it, understand it through an empathetic view of the other person. Which brings us to the fifth place, to remember to trust for the right reasons. Sometimes trust is used in certain ways in a relationship. Sometimes trust or not trusting is about manipulating the other person. You keep that place of trust just out of reach because you want to manipulate and control them. And so they keep trying to get there. Sometimes trust too quickly is about desperation, that you're so desperate to be in the relationship, you refuse to see that the person has a consistent way of acting that is endangering the relationship and maybe even you. So we have to make sure that we trust for the right reasons. What's the right reason? Because you're committed to the other person, because you're committed to the process of moving forward in a healthy relationship, because you're committed to the fact that trust is the cornerstone of a marriage. And you got to get there, not for manipulation or for desperation, but for connection. If this has been helpful for you, I would love it if you would share this whole series, all of the links to this. If you haven't listened to the other ones, please do that. The links are just below. And then you can share this podcast with other people on Facebook, on Twitter, on Google+, and lots of other platforms just below if you're on the website, savethemarriage.com. If you're not on the website, if you're listening by Stitcher or on iTunes on a podcast app on your Apple device, you can easily tweet if you're a tweeter. You can easily tweet by just putting into a browser savethemarriage.com/love. That's savethemarriage.com/love. It'll give you a pre-populated tweet. You just hit send and it'll send people there. Also, if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher or any of the other podcast app, please leave a review of this podcast so people can find us. That's the way we spread the word. I hope this has been helpful. I trust this has been helpful. I wish you the best as you continue to work to save your relationship.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.